Thank you, man. Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Almahadi. This is kind of a pilgrimage for me. I've been coming to this convention a long time, and it's an honor and a privilege to share here. And I see many people that I do know from around. I get around a little bit. So, before I get started, DC folks in particular probably recognize these two names, two members that are not with us in body, but certainly in spirit this year. I'd like to mention Dwayne. I'd like to mention Delphine.
Wow.
So, I was just sitting there thinking, because after you hear me share a little bit, you'll realize why I'm here. I was sitting there thinking about my quest to be in more places than one, and recognize that that's quite possible. And this fellowship is really something else. So open your minds just a little bit. Give me a chance, and hopefully I have something to offer you. So I'm going to start by reading, start with the ninth tradition. And there's one good way to clear the room: group conscience or tradition meeting. So I noticed people were leaving before we even start, so that's cool. Maybe everybody was, just hold on a minute. It's going to be good. I must read at least the first paragraph of the ninth tradition. I just have to. Tradition 9, any as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards and committees directly responsible for those they serve. This tradition defines the way that our fellowship functions. We must first understand what NA is. Narcotics Anonymous is addicts who have the desire to stop using and have joined together to do so. Our meetings are a gathering of members for the purpose of staying clean and carrying the message of recovery. Our steps and traditions are set down in a specific order. They are numbered. They are not random and unstructured. They are organized, but this is not the type of organization referred to in the ninth tradition. In this tradition, organized means having management and control. On this basis, the meaning of Tradition 9 is clear. Without this tradition, our fellowship would be in opposition to spiritual principles. A loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience, is our ultimate authority. All right. I have this wonderful t-shirt on. It's from Auburn, Alabama. There's a meeting there that meets like twice a week, and they light a candle at the beginning of the meeting because our national statistics, United States of America, have determined that an addict dies every 20 minutes. So before I get through blowing hot air up here, one of us somewhere is not going to be living. What the ninth tradition does for me in my life, it reminds me of where my bread is buttered. I look at the fellowship, and I was sitting out by the seashore, the bay shore on the other side, and I was looking at just the diversity in action and movement and whatnot, and I won't get real specific. We have the disease of addiction, and that's what I mean when I say that I'm an addict. I'm in recovery from the disease of addiction, so, I'm not, surveilling. I'm just watching real close, and I've always watched real close everything. And when you watch us interact and move and how we look, I was sitting there and I was getting the sense of this society that I'm a part of. And for me, it's even greater than a society. Because over there, I saw two addicts in a animated discussion. Could have been an argument, but I have got my earphones in. I can't handle a lot of noise. But anyway, I don't know what they're talking about, but I watch them interact, you know. And I watch how we interact. I watch how we go to meetings. I watch how we sit in meetings. And I first heard the term subgroup in New Orleans. So what the hell is that? You know? Anyway, so in my mind and in my experience, you know, I'm real grateful to be a part of a living, breathing organism that's greater than myself, and I'm just a part of that. And it all depends on the direction that I get and the consciousness that I have that allows me to be of ultimate service in whatever role that I'm playing. You know? The ninth tradition reminds me, and I'm going to tell you something, my first service position in Narcotics Anonymous outside of a group level was literature chair. And I can remember vividly, they asked me, said, well, why do you want to serve as literature chair? And I said, because I want to be minister of information. That was my experience. You know? That was important. Because there's a few of us here that remember the party days and all that kind of stuff, you know. Minister of Information was like serious shit. And the whole thing about my underlying that and what happened to me is that a part of that commitment, I read everything. I read everything that Narcotics Anonymous had on a piece of paper and did my best to ask questions to sponsors and groups, etc. When's the last time we've been to a meeting where somebody raised their hand and asked a question? Best meetings in the world. Best meetings in the world. You know, because our collective spiritual and mental resources are our greatest asset. Greatest. That's our greatest asset. And the most important thing that I learned probably in Narcotics Anonymous real early is, I don't know. I don't know. That I had a sponsor, he said, hey, look, dude. That worked when you was pulling them capers in kindergarten. You know, I got popped in my first theft in kindergarten. That worked then. But around here, you need to get to knowing something. You need to get to knowing something. You know? And in Narcotics Anonymous, I mean, we're well balanced because later on it tells us, you know, like, everything I know about the truth is subject to change. But I gotta start somewhere. I gotta start somewhere, and if you guys are anything like me, I grew up like being wrong was the worst thing. It's the worst thing. It's the worst thing. You know, I don't be anything but wrong. Being caught, I guess, was a close second, but being wrong was really just the worst thing. You know, my ego and my sense of self was so fragile. And then I had these large, dominant parents. I had a family of high-achieving people, you know. Being wrong around them was like, ooh, I can't be wrong, you know. So early in our text, it talks about Narcotics Anonymous, the program for learning. And I've come here and I've learned a lot of stuff. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to you guys. You know, because I open up, and there are a lot of different cultures, there are a lot of different ways that it's expressed, but we have our own way of expressing that. We have our own way. The ninth tradition reminds me one more time, dude, the minister of information does not exist here. Doesn't exist. It might exist in my mind, but the quicker that I can release that, the quicker I can drop that bag, the better able I am to serve the fellowship. So, well, my bread is butter. I don't know about you guys, but see, I'm one of the people that wouldn't last long without Narcotics Anonymous. Now, I hear a lot of people say that. I was sitting there coming out of the room. I came out of the room, sat down. I was just kind of, you know, just blasé there. And then my mind started to engage, you know. And what it engaged in, fear, doubt, insecurity. That first thing this morning. Man, I don't know if I'm going to really, you know, I can't mess up. I'm planning on going to this world convention. I don't know. I mean, this visa thing, and, oh my God, it's just such a mess, you know. And, hey, you know, I got to do this workshop this afternoon. God, what are you doing? But what has happened to me in this fellowship is that the we stepped in. One of you guys walked by and poof, it's gone. It's gone. I don't get that anywhere else. If you're anything like me, you know, we talk about happy, joyous, and free. You ever go to a meeting and walk into a room and just see somebody and your whole inside just kind of light up? Ooh. We ain't talking about Charleston Heston turning red in the face and throwing rocks. This stuff is real stuff. And without that visual, and without that connection, without that we, I'm gonna flip out. I'm gonna flip out. And my disease is so dangerous that it's gonna kill me. Now, I'm just talking about myself. It's gonna kill me. Or I'm going to make somebody kill me. That's where I left off. So I can't go back. Can't go back. So anyway, the ninth tradition reminds me that, you know, I'm just a part of this thing. I'm just a part. A living, breathing part. I'm not a clarity statement or whatever. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. And I know that. You know. You know, because if you ever see me in a humbug, just say, hey, I've seen him, but I don't know him. Keep moving. Anyway, how that relates a little bit to the amends making process is that I'm not sure about you guys, but when I got here, I felt so badly about myself that I would have done anything to get that weight off me, right? I was one of the dudes that was like, I would go like downtown, I'd be near the bus stop or something like that. I wish some little kid would run out in the street and I'd run out there and grab him and pull him back and then they'd come take my picture, you know what I'm saying? They'd take my picture and it'd be in the paper. And then some great benefactor somewhere, they'll say, well, you know, he's marginally employed. He's, you know, he's trying to get his life together. And then they're going to offer me a job. No, I'm going to be on TV. They're going to interview me. And my dad, well, he was deceased at the time. But anyway, my mom, my wife, my kids, my community, see, you know, this dude's all right. I'd have done anything. The problem is that when I got here wanting to do anything, I didn't know how to do anything. You know? That's the problem. That's the reminder in our traditions. We do things a certain way. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Understanding these is not like spending a night at the Holiday Inn. It's not like that. Our literature even says over a period of time. You know, and that's a part of the more be revealed part. You know? Now, I'm so nutty, I always think about like things like this. How can I participate in group conscience if I have no conscience? And that's where sponsorship comes in. I had to develop a kind of conscience. You know? I had a feeling. Maybe that was just a thought. Right? I didn't know the difference between thinking about using and a desire to use. You know? I'm still, I came in here in critical condition. I didn't come here like, you know, okay. I wasn't okay. I wasn't like halfway. I had some disjointed experiences with different organizations and, participated to the best of my ability. And all of that stuff, when I got here, you guys said, all of that stuff, just leave that at the door, man. Leave that at the door. The quicker you can leave that at the door, Joseph, the better able you're going to be to help us. And in turn, help yourself. You know? And we've all heard the old, the various adages, you know, empty wagon makes the most noise and all that kind of stuff. Man, you know, I was a real rabble rouser, you know, in this program. And to a certain degree, I think I kind of reserved that in my back pocket even today. I don't, you know, it's maybe not as like, I don't know, maybe not as abrasive, but it's there. It's there because, see, I'm dependent on this living, breathing organism for my next breath. I know that. I know that. And I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of that. Because I don't know about you guys, if you've ever been in the area service or have a big home group and whatnot, and see the chaos and the chair throwing and the book throwing and the accusations and the yo mamas and all. I can remember going to a service meeting, somebody left a dog turd on my car, you know. And they probably should have. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that was a long time ago, you know? Yeah, that's a dog turd on the hood. and you know, it goes back into like we're people with this disease that are thrust together, and I heard in a meeting some people were, you know, trying to, you know, get in touch with what this thrust means. It means that anybody who wants to come in that door can come in that door. There's no minimum requirement to be here. Okay. So, I try to be of service to the best of my ability, and just like in making amends, I'll talk about that a little bit and maybe how they relate a little bit together. In making amends, the first thing that I have to do is stop. I gotta stop. I just can't like count clean time on stuff. You know? I just have to stop. And a real good example for me is the whole concept of I don't want to go over the counter of 7-Eleven anymore, because if I get caught for that $50, the time served will break it down to about 0.3 cents a day for the time that I'm going to serve for that client. Right? That's real. That's a practical part of the program. Our program is real practical. Spiritual side says this. That ain't your stuff, dude. That's why I don't go across the counter. It's not mine. You got stuff stealing at some point. Well, I guess the first step is I got to know when I'm stealing. Because believe me, I stole a lot of stuff and didn't realize I was stealing. So when I figured that out with help, you know, then I was able to stop. So anyway, the ninth step talks a lot about it's our action that have the significant impact on our attitude. It was my action that had me walking in here feeling like lower than a snake's belly. It's what I was doing. And I was talking to a friend the other night, and you know, the part about, you know, like, it relieves us of guilt and remorse and relieves other people of their anger. Well, I was pretty dirty. I don't know about you guys. I did some dirty stuff, right? Nothing like the quadruple cross. Nothing like it. For funsies. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. So a lot of that had to dissipate over a period of time and directly putting myself in a place and humbly expressing my change and demonstrating that change is, I get a little less stuff out of that bag of crap that I get to carry around. Mm-hmm. A little less stuff, you know? Just a little less. And it's important. It's important because I don't need any extra stuff. I'm telling you, I'm on the edge. I don't know about you guys, but 2 minutes? That's a lifetime. Anyway, and I really appreciate your attention and attentiveness. And service is the key, you know. Keeps us alive and free, and I mean, and learning our way and being in harmony with each other is the beautiful thing of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it has some tremendous themes over the years in this particular conference. Diversity is our strength. You really believe that? Next time some dirty, smelly, stinky person sits next to you in a meeting, don't move. Don't move. Don't move. You know? Back in my area, they should say this. Say, be careful, be careful and kind with the newcomer because that may be your next sponsor. Anyway, thanks for listening. That's all I got.